I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's always a pleasure to bring in my friend, managing editor Ed Marcy of HotAir.com, townhall.com media organization. Ed, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be back on with you.
Great to have you, as always. I saw this article earlier today, and I reached out to you, and I saw what it aired on CNN, and your headline for Town Hall, for hotair.com from Town Hall Media is CNN. Let's face it, Trump is the most influential president this century and more. And it talks about tariffs and other things, but saying tariffs is probably the least important of the changes that he's made.
Actually, you can even argue that the tariffs haven't actually changed yet permanently because this is still tied up in the courts, right? So I'm not going to rest legacy on tariffs until it actually clears through the court process. And there's a good chance that the courts are going to rule that Trump is overstepping his authority there. But he's really reset the context of American politics and global politics in massively influential ways. Using force to end Iranian nuclear weapons development was a game changer on the world stage. The fact that he's even arguing over the terms of what we used to call free trade is, and having our trading partners more or less capitulate on the notion that it has never actually been free and fair trade. Otherwise, they would not be accepting non-reciprocal tariffs in order to access the American market. I think he's really changing the context of American policy, of global policy. And I think especially when it comes to cultural discussions, especially around DEI and the way that higher education is operating within that sphere, this is a complete change of direction for the United States. And of course, immigration, which I think Carrie Enten was very good at outlining in that CNN clip.
And when you start getting CNN to divulge time to say how good your administration's doing, I mean, you have to just that in itself chalk that up as a win.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'll preface it by saying this. Harry Enten is a data guy. So Harry Enten has always gone where the data takes him. And so sometimes he has good things to say about Trump. Sometimes he has bad things to say about Trump and Republicans. But it's always data oriented. So he's pretty reliable and more reliable than some of the hosts there. But Harry Enten is pretty much a straight shooter. So, and he has been very good about explaining how the data is working in favor of Republicans over the last few months, especially when it comes to party assessment, that sort of thing. Democrats have been plummeting in the assessment of voters, both within their party and outside their party. And Enten's been pretty good at covering that as well.
And I'm glad you went into that there, because that was my next question. As this is going on, as we're discussing these wins, as the data in this instance is showing that, you know, how influential the rapid fire just over 7 months has been in this administration, we see the Democrats, where Elizabeth Warren is campaigning with Mamdani, the socialist New York City mayoral candidate. And they don't seem, like I've said for the past 7 months, you know, they have no message, they have no leader, they have no platform, and they keep proving and not proving, but double down on that.
Well, it's hard when you're in the wilderness to have a party leader, right? I mean, and this was the thing that tripped up Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert's show. He asked her, who's the leader of the Democrat Party? And there's actually an easy answer to that. It's your highest ranking elected officials, which would be Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, that's literally the answer that you give to that sort of question. what Colbert wanted to know was who's going to be the Democrat nominee in 2028. And there's just simply no way to tell that. But that's an unfair ask at this stage of a cycle. But Harris couldn't even come up with that answer, which I think was rather funny. Now, the Mamdani, I think Republicans are very wise to try to make him the face of the Democrat Party because he's a radical. And even though he may be selling to some extent in New York City, and I'm not even sure that that's the case, he's not going to sell nationwide. And so Elizabeth Warren getting on board with him is really a bad idea, but it's coming from that same neo-Marxist left wing of the Democrat Party to which Warren belongs. And it's going to be a real problem for Democrats trying to reconnect with middle America in the next electoral cycle. They're going the wrong direction, and apparently there's nobody there to tell them to stop.
With Mamdani, and you saying that he doesn't have that national taste, that national recognition to get him over there, when his big sister from the same area, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is polling very highly in the Democrat, it's possible 2028. Actually, she did better than Kamala Harris in the last poll.
I wouldn't doubt that it'd be too difficult to do better than Kamala Harris after what happened last year. First off, I'll just say that. But again, she's popular among the left wing of that party. And not because she's accomplished, but just simply because she's known. I mean, it's a lot of this is just name recognition at this point. She hasn't actually done anything. The only thing that she's actually done is managed to win elections. She hasn't put together any legislation. She goes out and does, fundraising with Bernie Sanders, but that's about all she's accomplished in office so far. And I don't think that if push came to shove, if she really wanted to put together a national campaign, that she would get much traction. First off, I don't think she's too much better than Kamala Harris when it comes to explaining things. And second, she's just too radical. She's Mamdani. You're right. She's Mamdani's political sister. And that's not a compliment.
No, indeed. My counterpart who has the show before me, Sue Henry, had a great interview today from a local organization that follows government spending, especially here in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth Foundation. And it turns out that Governor Josh Shapiro, our governor here in Pennsylvania, has increased his official governor PR staff, his social media presence, by 21 employees. For over $3 million of taxpayer dollars doing that. And a lot of the stuff he's putting out is directed at other states, directed at generalizations, not so much the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to where if you transition that, they found out that his campaign PR only employs one person. They said his 21 staffers on his social media campaign, on his PR team for the governor, his official governor PR team, is even greater than Gavin Newsom has. And we all know what kind of media hungry individual he is. What does that tell you, hearing that information out there?
He's running in 2028.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all, but that's exactly what that's telling. Yeah, they're not on the campaign because he'd have to pay them on the campaign. The state of Pennsylvania is paying them if they work for the governor's office. And that's up to the state legislature and the people of Pennsylvania. If they are offended by that, they probably should be. Those people really should be working on the campaign. But it does mean that he doesn't have to raise funds or he doesn't have to spend funds quite so early in a campaign cycle. But yeah, he's running in 2028. He actually wouldn't be a bad choice for Democrats in 2028, but I don't think that they're smart enough to realize that.
You're still based in Texas, correct, Ed?
I am, yeah.
So with this fleeing of your state representatives to places like Illinois, even the governor of New York had a few of them up in Albany to talk about that. What's going on underground? Are there going to be arrests of state legislatures? Are there going to be firings, $500 a day fines? It seems to be quite a tug of war that's moved nationally now.
Oh, it's going to be glorious down here. I we're going to have so much fun covering this. It'll be a blast. They just issued arrest warrants, civil arrest warrants. The Speaker of the House held a vote and authorized those. Ken Paxton is going to try to enforce those. I think it's very interesting to note that most of them fled to Illinois, which has one of the worst gerrymanders in the nation. And they flew there on private jets so that they could be protected by a billionaire oligarch named J.B. Pritzker. And if you don't know who J.B. Pritzker is, he's the governor of Illinois, and he's also fabulously wealthy. He's the kind of oligarchs that, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders would rail against if he wasn't a Democrat politician as well. And they flew there in a private jet, which I think is just absolutely hilarious. Talk about all of the different ways in which the optics of this thing just work badly. But the other part of this, too, and a little bit more substantively, the special session that Abbott called is dealing with the redistricting maps, but it's also dealing with the flood victims, that, you know, the people who were displaced by the flood, the people who lost family members in the flood, and in bolstering safety systems so that the next storm that comes through there, people are going to be better prepared for that. That's all on hold now because Democrats have fled the state. And I don't know who's, I would assume that maybe somebody like Stephen Miller is doing their strategy for them to make Republicans look even better than they already look. It's a terrible way to it's a terrible way to operate. I've always hated what I call flea bagging, and this is the third time now that Texas Democrats have done this in the last 22 years.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the governor come out and say that if you are accepting donations, if you are accepting gifts like air travel or a place to stay or such like that to not do your official job, you know, there may be legal consequences there.
Well, what happened 4 years ago after the last flea bagging incident, which was over a voting reform package that Republicans wanted to pass in Texas, is that the legislature actually passed laws which make that a felony. Which is the reason, one of the reasons why they are talking about law enforcement now, not just to bring them back to the legislature, but to actually prosecute them for this felony of accepting money for the purpose of obstructing the state legislature from doing its business. And it's not just the politicians that can be prosecuted for that, it's the people who give them money, too. And so if this really gets down to hardball, it may not just be civil arrest that we're talking about, it might be criminal prosecutions. And that's what at least that's what everybody's threatening right now. That's easier said than done, but it will be interesting to see how it unfolds.
And something that I think is easier is your state legislator in Texas is only part-time. They only get a stipend for being legislators. They, most of them have full-time jobs that they should be there for to attend as well.
Well, yes. And that's actually more the norm than it is the exception. Most state legislatures are part-time. When I was living in Minnesota, that's a part-time legislature there as well. They do biennial budgets there as well as here. So generally speaking, they only meet once every – they have one, you know, longish session every 2 years. But down here, they call a lot of special sessions in Texas. So they have to be around the state quite a bit. And this is one of those special sessions. And they are required to attend that. And the legislature can order their arrest if they don't show up. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And if they don't want to be legislators, if they don't want to have debates over these types of things, they should leave the legislature and find people who are willing to go through the democratic process of debate over bills and having votes to determine what the actual laws are going to be.
I hope Pennsylvania heard you loud and clear that part-time legislatures are more the norm than not like here in Pennsylvania where it's their full-time, full-paid positions. Ed Morrissey, managing editor of HotAir.com. Ed, if my listeners want to follow you and your work, how can they do that?
Well, I mean, you just go to HotAir.com. I'm, you know, writing there, and I've got a great team there. I'm also on Twitter, at Ed Morrissey. That's two R's, two S's. And so you can find me there as well.
All right. Ed, as always, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 526, 84 degrees on this Monday, August 4th. And as promised, we bring in Joe from Edwardsville. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I am well. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I didn't mind waiting through that. That was some fascinating conversation you guys just had. but I just wanted to get back real quick to the you're talking about how, you know, you got to sign forms to be able to, you know, to find out information about your kids and what have you. And, you know, I used to be an emergency room nurse up in Scranton, where you may or may not know there's a very well-known local university. And in the fall, there was always, oh, brother, if I had a nickel, we would get a lot of what we call drive-by patients. Somebody would come screeching into the ambulance bay. We'd go right out with a wheelchair or a stretcher. They'd give us somebody, throw them up on a stretcher, and then you hear the peel and see the screech marks because they didn't want to be involved in it. So you're dealing with a lot of kids who've lived under their mother and father's roof all their lives. They get their first taste of freedom, and they abuse it. So alcohol poisoning and things of this nature were a big part of our thing. But then, once we got them in and started to treat them, and we would get people calling. And it would be between the parents and, a lot of times, the roommate. And it was, oh, you know, somebody I just know just went there, and I want to know, how are they doing? And there's nothing you can do. HIPAA is just like that. So what I used to try to do, to the best of my ability, would be, yes, we have this patient. We are treating them. And you know what you should do, since I can't tell you anything, is you should just listen to the tone of my voice, and you can go ahead and make an assumption from there about how well they're doing. So, you know, otherwise than that, I don't know what to tell you. That was the best that I could do to try and put somebody's mind at ease about either their child or their patient that they dropped in my ambulance bay. So that's just something, you know, a food for thought.
Yeah, and if you're a parent with a 18-plus-year-old or going on 18-plus-year-old, you know, you want to be able to know how your kid's doing if something happens. You know, this is a more, you know, college-y experience. You know, you had a little, got overserved by one of your roommates or somebody. But if it's a little more serious than that, say there's other things in nature. Say you have a daughter in college and maybe there was a little more involved than just drinking, to where, you know, maybe things got criminal as far as someone else directed at your loved one. You want to be able to get involved here, and you can't do that unless you have, you know, these medical waivers signed to where you are someone that...
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone like you could speak to.
Oh, exactly. And it's, you know, at that point, as much more tragic as that is, at that point, quite frankly, it became a police responsibility to notify families and what have you that, you know, if there's an issue, you need to come, things of that nature. So it's, you know, it just gets so twisted and so complicated. But, you know, it is. It's just, and this is just a cute little thing. Back when HIPAA first fell, like the Iron Curtain, I was married. I had a stepson, and his mom was working. Asked me would I take him to a doctor's for an appointment. He had a bad throat. Sure, I got him, honey. We go. We get there, and they hand me these new forms, and they say, okay, this is, you know, about privacy things and this and that, you know, and who can we discuss his medical information with? So I thought, okay, hey, mom, his, you know, biological dad, because he visits him. I thought, yeah, you know, sometimes he goes over to my brother's house for a swim. So I put my brother in case they should have an accident or whatnot. And I put down everybody that I could think of, signed the form, turned it in, had the visit, went home. An hour or two later, I get a call. Yes, we have results for so-and-so. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, his mom's not here. I'm his stepdad. I give him my name, and they, I'm sorry, your name's not on this form. What? Yes, I'm sorry. I have a list here of people that I can talk to about this, and your name isn't one of them. I said, oh, okay, look down the bottom, and you'll see a signature that's mine. The thought of putting myself on that form never crossed my mind. it just holy wow. And I know you love bureaucracy as much as I do, so I thought I would share that quick story. Because I was laughing like a nitwit.
Yeah. I hear you.
So, Wendy, I just wanted to throw those couple of things in here before the bottom of the hour break. You have a great rest of your day, brother.
Sounds good, my friend. Have a good one. All right. It's 5:31 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. And it takes a lot first thing in the morning to make me giggle. And this indeed did that. And it was a City of Scranton hiring notice. And here's the title of the position. We are looking for casual property stabilization and enhancement person. A casual property stabilization and enhancement. When you look into it, it's basically a fancy name for a maintenance worker. Qualifications: must possess a valid state of Pennsylvania driver's license and ability to maintain records and daily logs. So I look at it casual, well, part-time or temporary. Property stabilization and enhancement. Well, you're going to maintain the property and enhance the property. So you're basically a custodial porter. So you look at duties and responsibilities when you go into this. And it says, responds to and performs tasks to abate nuisances, overgrowth, graffiti, litter, abandoned property maintenance, illegal dumping, etc., within the City of Scranton. Revitalize vacant and overgrown lots through property maintenance. Removes dumping and debris from sites within the City of Scranton. Additional duties include mowing, snow removal, preparing athletic fields, tree trimming, planting, trash pickup, repair, painting, fertilizing and mulching, general maintenance of abandoned property and city green spaces and facilities cleaning. Works closely with the City of Scranton Public Works, code enforcement and park maintenance, and maintain and enforce city blight remediation ordinances. Other related necessary duties as required by the department director supervisors. Well, here's the thing. You would think that this falls under the Department of Public Works, right? Sounds like it. Every job duty that's listed in the duties of responsibility would be someone for the Department of Public Works. But here's the thing. And I believe this position was a brainchild of Councilman King and Schmerl. And it was to fall under the Department of Public Works, which at this time does not have a director, does not have an acting director, really doesn't have anybody in charge of anything. But you would think the work would fall under that as well. No, this, from what I'm being told, this position, casual property stabilization and enhancement, which is a temporary, not more than 6 month position. So just enough to get past the election, right? Let's make the city look nice up until the election, and then we really don't care what's happening after that, right? Well, you have to ask yourself a couple of things. Is there someone doing this job now, the casual property stabilization enhancement, or was there someone hired to do that job? What's their status? Where are they? Why do we need a temporary person to take this position now? I'm also told that this is going to fall under the clerical union, not the Department of Public Works union, therefore causing issues with union grievances, which may cost the taxpayers of Scranton lots of money if it goes to arbitration and such like that. So a couple of questions here. First, the fancy name screams Harvard to me. Casual property stabilization and enhancement. Which Democratic textbook did you get that nonsense out of? And of course, you know, the brainchild of two administration-friendly city council members, Bill King and Council President Schmerl. And again, there's questions that should be asked to the administration, the mayor specifically. Is there anyone doing this job now? Has anyone ever been hired for this job? What's their status? Why is this only a temporary position, and why isn't it falling under the Department of Public Works when everything in the duties and responsibility screams the Department of Public Works? Why only up for 6 months, not to exceed 6 months? There's still not going to be blight. There's still not going to be snow plowing. There's still not going to be issues after, let's say, January. And their duties, other related and necessary duties required by the department director and supervisors. Well, there is no department director of public works. We can't seem to get or hold one of them either. And there's no acting like there normally would be. So it screams a lot of questions here. Questions we're looking for answers for, but it's on my radar. Mayor PGC. And as you move forward into your election or two season, we'll be sure to ask you these questions. It's 5:42 here at WILK. Time for weather. We'll get the traffic. Storm Tracker 16 forecast. Tonight, clear, low 58. Tomorrow, some sun and clouds, high 87. Wednesday, sun and more clouds, high of 85. Thursday, spotty showers, a high of 83. Almost said sporty showers, but it could be that too. Right now, it's currently 83 degrees here at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. As we start to wind things down on this Monday, August 4th, 2025. See, Monday wasn't that hard. We got through it together. A lot of information there. And I got to piss people off in the meantime. So it's all good. I consider that a successful Monday, right? Two thumbs up from Jake. Yes, indeed. So it's been a rough couple of weeks for the 80s. Indeed. Lonnie Anderson, best known from her role, not her only role, WKRP in Cincinnati, as the good-looking, intelligent receptionist, Jennifer Marlowe, on that show. I liked that show, and it was well before, I mean, it was my youth, well before I had anything to do with radio or wanted anything to do with radio. I'm sure Jake, her favorite role would be Stroker Ace. Do you like that movie, Stroker Ace?
Love the movie.
Yeah, I figured so. It was Burt Reynolds. That was his one of his first things into NASCAR.
Dale Earnhardt made a cameo.
Yeah, and was that one of the first like mainstream movies about NASCAR that really kind of highlighted NASCAR?
Yeah, I would say so. That was 1983, and I mean some of the drivers that were in it, like I talked about, Dale Earnhardt. I think Kyle Petty was in it. Ricky Redd was another one that was in it. I know the year before that, Kenny Rogers did Six Pack, but like this was the first one that like truly involved
the focus NASCAR was drivers. NASCAR, yeah.
And then of course Days of Thunder, that was 1990, and might have a sequel coming out for that. But yeah, Stroker Ace in 83, that was definitely.
And Ricky Bobby, come on, you can't not throw that in.
If you ask Dale Earnhardt Jr. as far as his favorite NASCAR movie goes, it's Stroker Ace, and I remember. Matter of fact, they even had a car that they won Richmond with in 2004, and it was chassis number 10. And Aubrey James, that was his number, was number 10, and that's what they called the car. So it ended up being successful. So, yeah, definitely that movie had a huge, huge part in getting the sport more attention like it was in the early 80s. And because
of that movie, she ended up marrying Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, they were married for 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, just 2 days shy of 80.
Yeah, that Lonnie Anderson, that is. She was just about to turn 80. She passed away, but best known, when it's on MeTV or something like that every now and then, I'll watch WKRP in Cincinnati. Every Thanksgiving, we got to play the turkey bit, the news, Les Nessman's turkey bit from WKRP in Cincinnati. And listen, I've never been into radio that much as far as, watching shows about it or looking into it. I think I've seen the Howard Stern movie. I couldn't even tell you the name of it, about his radio career. I think I've seen it once. But WKRP in Cincinnati, it's up there. I was a big MASH fan. WKRP in Cincinnati, those type of sitcoms, even as a kid, drew my liking and attention. So it's sad to see her go, but it's been a rough time for us 80s teens. That indeed. One of the other things that have been bouncing around my head, we had that huge Russian West Coast earthquake that caused a tsunami warning for the entire Pacific Ocean. And I posted on my social media, there was one of the seismic institutes that track earthquakes posted the wave that was a wave of earthquakes that was felt around the globe. From its epicenter in western Russia, across the Pacific, hitting our Pacific coast, and then traveling across the U.S. and then off the East Coast. And it was literally like someone took a blanket and whipped it, and you see that wave go across the nation as far as earthquakes, most of the which we can't feel, but the tremors did cut across. Then you had that 3.0 earthquake in New Jersey just this past weekend. You have this Russian volcano erupts for the first time in centuries after a massive earthquake strikes that western shore. Is something going on underneath the earth that we should be concerned about? This is the second volcano that I've seen stories on that has all of a sudden become active again. We're starting to get these, you know, earthquakes, major ones, an 8.8 in western Russia, and then felt across the world, almost to where the point here, just in our coast, and I know some people in Jersey who felt this. They live right in that area. It was nothing crazy, you know, little vibrations. It's not the first for our area. It won't be the last. I believe there's a minor tectonic plate, you know, around through Jersey and southern Pennsylvania. But should there be something that we should be more worried about? Now, this earthquake, which came with a 7.0 magnitude earthquake. Now, this is the first historical confirmed eruption of this volcano in 600 years, said head of one of Russia's volcanic eruption response teams, told local media there. According to the U.S.-based Smithsonian Institute Global Volcanism Program, it last erupted in 1550, or 475 years ago. The reason behind the discrepancy is not immediately clear, but it's 100 years or so off. That being said, it hasn't erupted in hundreds of years. Still, the volcano eruption response team said Sunday that the moderate explosive activity could continue despite activity at the volcano decreasing. So again, it brings me back, is there something going on that maybe we should be more concerned about? I mean, we get these reports of this strange near-Earth object that is coming. Some people, well, these two Harvard scientists said it's an alien craft. Everyone else says it's an asteroid. It's going to go behind the sun, and then when it comes out, we should be able to see one way or another. These two Harvard astronomers said that it possibly has hostile intentions, and it's not showing the characteristics of a non-terrestrial vehicle. So it's not showing the characteristics of a meteor, comet, asteroid, whatever they call these things. But these here, more than so concern me. Maybe because when I was in high school, I did one of my major reports was on tectonic plates and the shifting of tectonic plates and how fragile the Earth's crust truly is. But to have something like a major earthquake, 8.8, and then all of a sudden, again, two eruptions from long dormant volcanoes, an earthquake here on the East Coast, something, you know, maybe it's just coincidence these things happen. But other than that, would they tell us, do you think, if there was something bigger on the horizon? Would they come out and say, hey, we're seeing some shifting and some scientific readings that are really concerning us? Or would that cause panic? I think it would cause panic. I think they would, in fact, not tell us. Every movie that's ever been made about a comet coming or something near Earth issue has or aliens come in or whatever the different movies you watch, usually they keep us out of the loop until they can't deny it any further. But it's something to keep an eye on. You know, you have a lot of changes naturally in things that we have no control over, like earthquakes, like volcanoes, and the odd occurrence of them happening in rapid succession. So just something to keep an eye on, something that's drawn my attention. And just ask myself, hey, is there something more going on that we should be aware of? I don't have any definitive answer yet, but I find it odd that we have a major earthquake, two volcanoes, long dormant, are all of a sudden erupting. And now we have a minor earthquake, which we've had before here on the East Coast, just unusual for our area. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today. I got a text message, and yeah, like they would tell us about a comet or asteroid. Look what happened when people thought there would be no toilet paper. Yes, it would be mayhem. Total mayhem. Let me see. Joe from Huntington Mills. I got about a minute, Joe.
Oh, okay. I just want to say one thing about the Earth. Like, I always think, like, I'm not a big believer that we're going to destroy the Earth because of whatever we do. But question was, when I went back to college and I was a little older in life, and the professor asked, he said, "What if a mosquito hits a train, does it have an effect on that train?" And what would your first answer be? No, right? You would think no. I mean, if a mosquito hits, but if 10 zillion, say, let's say 10 zillion mosquitoes hit that, that one mosquito has to have an effect, but we don't have a measurement to measure it. So anything we do to like fracking or anything like that, I believe somehow, sometime, it's gonna do something. That's all I wanted to put in there. But you know what I'm saying on that? Anything. It's kind of out there, but it's true. So if
Joe, when I swerve out of the way of mosquitoes on my way home tonight, it's going to be your fault.
No, you know what I'm saying, though.
I do. I hear you. I hear you. I'm running out.
We don't have nothing to measure.
I'm out of time, Joe. I appreciate your call.
All right.
And yeah, I think everything has effect on something. We might not notice it or recognize it, but everything. For every effect, there's an effect, right? For every cause, there's an effect. Well, that's it for today. We got through Monday. We will see you tomorrow. We'll be back here. We do have something special going on for Wednesday, but I can't really tell you about it yet. It is coming up on 6 o'clock here. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.